On page 34. First we'll say it in English and then we'll chant it in Tibetan on page 37. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. And at the bottom of page 37, the chanting version. Sem chen tam che de wa dong. Green Tower's mantra 7 times. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Tari tu re soha, Om 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 Tari tu re soha. Om Tari Tu Tari Tu Re Soha. The children can go to their class now.
Would you get the drawer for me? Henry, I ain't fit. I ain't dressed for company. Ah, sheesh.
Myself a little prettier.
I'm coming!
That'd be good.
Yes.
Are you Sophia Costanza?
Yes.
When you filled out your reply form from the packet we sent you, you became eligible for the grand prize and were selected from thousands. You've won Dharma teaching, spiritually stimulating classes, meditation time, free stupa access, amazing fellowship, a chance to change your mind, tons of service opportunities, witty Buddhist repartee, reserved spot on the shoe rack, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Hey! Hold your breath and open your eyes. Count to four. Say, buddy.
Buddy, I'm a winner! Yeah!
That's quite loud. Good morning. Beginning with short meditation. Okay, short meditation. So we'll sit. many different types of meditation you can do, like review meditations, or maybe concentration meditation. You can concentrate on your breath, you're breathing your own breath, you know, in and out. Then analytical meditation. So I'm not going to explain, because last Sunday, so I promised to have longer discussion here, so not to take time, you know. So I just next 3 hours, the next 2 or 5 minutes, we'll just, you know, sit quietly. Okay. Good morning. Sorry to interrupt your meditation. There's no bell. Bell is gone. Bell is gone. Mother Teresa, what she said, Mother Teresa, what she said is like fruit of silence is prayer, remember? Fruit of silence is prayer. So that's very, you know, like something to think about. What is prayer? No, what is prayer? The first question is, what is prayer? So now we read, you know, in the book we read, this is all like, different levels of, you know, different levels of positive thought, different levels of positive thought. From all kind of people, and all kind of different people, different positive thoughts, you know, reflected on the piece of paper, what we call prayer, you know, actually is some kind of wish that reflects, you know, that's like then the, within the vision, you know, some of them are really vast, like vast, big, you know, really big. You know. There's many different kind of, you know, wishes that reflect on the piece of paper. Then we say, you know, for example, like, may all sentient beings have happiness, cause of happiness. There's, you know, one kind of like positive thought that reflect on piece of paper. Then we say, oh. So that means, you know, these are, you know, something to think about, not just say, you know, something to think about. So then, you know, the fruit of silence is prayer. The fruit of silence is prayer. So like wondering, like the silence refers to what? Silence refers to something. Life becomes more complicated, you know, more complicated, because of, you know, most of the time because of our thought. So, meditation, you know, one way to say, according to that, what Mother said, you know, Mother Teresa said, based on that, my understanding, maybe you may have different understanding, my understanding when I read that, you know, Mother Teresa thinks, in the book. So fruit of silence refers to, you know, within the thought, there are some of them are very helpful, some of them are not helpful, you know, not just that, but also very, how do you say, destructive, what do you call it, destructive? Disturbing, very disturbing, yeah, some of them are very disturbing. So, those thoughts need to be silent. Huh? So now, you know, when we meditate, silent does not mean, you know, think nothing, you know, silent does not, meaning of the silent does not mean think nothing. It means think something, you know, think something. That's the only way, in the beginning of the time, that's the only way to silence, you know, disturbing thoughts, to think. So then, what Mother said makes sense, you know, fruit of silence, prayer. So, the way I understood the prayer, I think the prayer is, I'm not sure, maybe you agree with me or not, I'm not sure, but I think the prayer is wish. It's the wish. It's a positive wish. The wish is part of mind, and it's not part of physical, it's not part of piece of paper. It's like wish. There's something there you can wish, I can wish, you know. I can wish, you can wish, you know. So, when we wish something good, you know, when we wish something good, it's a part of the thought. So that means thinking something positive. So there is meditation. Huh? When you think something positive, then there's a disturbing thought has no size and no place. So then what Mother said makes sense, you know. The fruit of silence, prayer, it does make sense. It makes completely sense. The fruit of silence, prayer, you know. Then the fruit of prayer is faith. Then the fruit of faith is love. The fruit of love is service. Then the fruit of service is peace. This all makes complete sense, you know, complete sense. Fruit of silence, you know. It's not like just, you know, it's first of all, it's almost impossible just sit, think nothing. That's kind of hard. Even though if you're thinking, I'm thinking nothing, you are still thinking. Silent meditation. So usually I don't like to use this word silent meditation. I just, you know, say we sit quietly. You know, so silent, you know, so the way I understood silent is like silencing our disturbing thought, you know. That's what it means. Huh? So then, yeah, only way we can do that is like to develop some kind of positive thought, you know, to generate some kind of positive wish. Then that is prayer. quite desperate, no? So, anybody, no, if you're believing in something or not believing in something, no, you can, we all, regardless, no, whether you are Buddhist or Christian or non-believer, believer, doesn't matter. We are all capable to develop. We are all capable to think something positive. Just want to share that with you. Okay, just want to share that with you. So then, you know, before I read this number of questions, so then I promised last Sunday, so most of the time I don't keep my promise. So last Sunday I promised that we had discussions group. So before I do that, so please would you mind take 1 minute to introduce to yourself to each other, so then after that, you know. Thank you very much. Thank you. People know who are doing here. What do you call this?
Skit.
So now this all voluntary based. So and I would like to thank each one of you. Each and every one of you like to thank. To come to the center, you know. So because of your has a kind heart, you know, the center has been running. So I, sorry to say, I don't take any responsibility for those things, you know. So I don't take any responsibility, and also I don't have any responsibility. both of them, not take any responsibility, and I don't have any responsibility. You know? So everything, you know, here, I come here, you know, just, you know, blah, 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 that's my responsibility. Other than that, you know, everything is taken care of by, you know, all the volunteers, people, you know, all the volunteers, I have no idea, you know, so how much money come in, how much money go out, you know, so all these things, I have no idea. So right from the beginning, 16 years ago, right from the beginning, the very first night when I came to, not here, in the basement, and I make it very clearly, you know, so my responsibility is to teach, that's all, you know, so other than that, I don't want to get involved at all, So I kept my promise. So, this is not my center, this is our center, you know, whoever comes here, that's our center. because of your kind heart, your, you know, contributions, time, energy, all of that, you know. So because of that, now children's programs growing very much. So a lot of children get benefits, a lot of people get benefit, and a lot of classes been, you know, provided here because of your the contributions through kind heart, you know, warm heart. So I just want to thank, from bottom of my heart. Each one of your present, I'm not just to make you trying, I'm not just saying this to make you happy. So what I'm saying is in my heart is true, you know, it's true, truth, or true or truth. True, yeah. So every one of you, you know, like last 16 years, whoever may, you know, walk through this, you know, like center, what we are trying to do, we get here together every Sunday, every Wednesday, we are trying to learn how to become better human beings, you know, that's all. No, not we are trying to here become Buddhist. No, no, that's not the goal. The goal is to how to become better human beings, you know, human beings with the compassion heart, kind heart, you know. This is very important. This is the goal. This is the goal, you know, to hoping to the more people with kind heart. That's what's very, that's very, very important. This is really, really important in every community, you know, every family. It's very, very important to help person with kind heart, you know, caring, you know. That's the main goal here at the center. So whenever you come here, then we're trying to meditate, you know, I'm trying to say some blah, 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 you know, so then here, there. So, and the bottom line, we are all trying our best how to become better human beings through, you know, educating our, you know, mind. So, based on that, every one of you are present here is, you know, bringing some energy, you know, positive energy, then everybody get benefit, believe or not, everybody get benefit. So everybody has Buddha nature, so that means the fundamental, our mind is pure, but it's clouded, you know, by, you know, like different kind of thoughts, you know, but fundamental nature, this pure, therefore we can hope, because fundamental nature is Buddha nature, refers to the mind, you know, nature of the mind. So each one of you are present here at the center is now blessing, you know, blessing the bring each time when you think something positive while we are meditating here, each time when you think positive, and you are generating positive energies, you know, so that energy has impact around you here. So I just want to thank each and every one of you. So far so good. Last 16 years has been quite good. So far so good. So then I would like to read, you know, if you can help me this, I don't understand this question, what it says.
I have read that the Buddha son's name, Raiola, is interpreted ball and chain. Is this true?
What does the ball and chain mean?
The way they use it,
that was the way they used to punish criminals. They would have an iron chain around the leg with a big heavy ball on it. So it's like something that prevents you from having freedom.
So this question is?
The question is that they heard that the Buddhist son's name means ball and chain, means something that prevents you from having freedom.
Sorry, I don't know. So I can answer, I don't know. So Rahula, so I don't know. I'm not trying to be mean, but you know, The truth, I don't know. I don't know. So maybe somebody can help, or maybe you can Google. Dajin Zin. Tibetanese names like Dajin Zin. Say Dajin. Say means, you know, it's an honorific word for son, you know. Say. Tibetan word. Say Dajin Zin. Dajin Zin, that's the name. There's Rahula, that's Sanskrit. I really don't know. Sorry. Today, so then here, I promise, you know, this has been here, so I need to read, otherwise, you know, people will not put suggestion, then that's also not good, so I need to read this. Once you mentioned that collective consciousness exists, but universal consciousness does not exist. So I never heard this, you know, term, the universal consciousness. Collective consciousness, when I say collective consciousness, means in here. No, collective mindset, no different mindset. That's what I mean, collective consciousness. Universal consciousness, I really don't understand the meaning of universal consciousness. So if that refers to one consciousness, so then from Buddhist point of view, that does not exist. No. Universal consciousness, if whoever is asking the questions, if you are thinking that universal consciousness is one consciousness, then probably one consciousness is shared with everybody. What's the definition of universal consciousness? Yeah, please, maybe you can help. You can help us. You can explain to us. Maybe we'll have some knowledge.
Because if universal consciousness does not exist, that wipes out what's called the Akashic record completely. Because if this one consciousness that those like Edgar Cayce was supposedly able to access, it supposedly has all the knowledge of everything that ever happened, just this universal consciousness. And I've even heard it said that everything you ever did was as it was written in the book. It's referring to this universal consciousness. So if that doesn't exist, it really depletes a lot of things.
Everything that we do is written in the one.
Yes, book. this whole Akashic record that supposedly exists. And once you said, you didn't expound upon it at all. You said there's collective consciousness. I think I understand that, especially through karma, the collective.
Then there's individual mindset here, like probably 80 different mindsets.
Yes, here, even collective. A collection of people at a certain time in a certain place, karmically speaking. But this universal consciousness had me stumped. So that was my question. I thought that I could hide from it, but.
You understood?
Thank you.
Huh?
Thank you, what you said.
Yeah. Diane, you explain the meaning of the universal consciousness? You explain?
Yes.
Did you explain?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I tried to.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very good, yeah. So, I don't know, so.
Yeah, we don't think in terms of universal consciousness so much, right? So, and I think this is specific to Edgar Cayce and Christian belief.
If you go on further, you wind up with God.
That's out of the realm of Buddhism, because it's the whole idea. You have to accept the idea or the notion of a God, you know, and this whole thing of writing everything in the book, right? Like God has this book and everything you've ever done. I'm not quite sure if I buy that personally, but does that? So universal consciousness is not something that Buddhism purports at all, you know. And you know, because then you got to take it from there. Then you got to say there's a God, and so forth. And the Buddha himself didn't even want to have that discussion about God, you know. So. I think it's enough just to know that collective consciousness, right? Mm-hmm. It's like what we're thinking and how, you know, how we relate to others. I think that's enough. Personally, for me, I probably just really muddle things up really good. So I don't know how I do it.
Oh, that's good, yeah. So I have nothing to say. So maybe there's another question here. So as I mentioned, the most important things, you know, here, I sincerely, genuinely saying this from my heart, last 60 years, you know, most important things is to focus how to become kind person, you know, warm-hearted person. That's most important things. That's most important. That, you know, guarantees, you know, like harmonies within the family, within the friendship, within the communities, within the universe, you know. If everybody think about compassion, loving kindness, rather than just thinking about, you know, what is the difference between Buddhism and Christianity, what's the difference between, you know, me and you. Yeah, there's a lot of secondary level difference, you know. There's different color, different, you know, different color, different way of looking, different way of eating. It exists, you know, throughout history, you know, why we think, you know, it's going to exist, you know, next, you know, many, many years. So what is the most important, you know, what's the most important is to think about, you know, how to develop compassion, what's the meaning of compassion, how to develop, you know, what kind of method we can use to develop compassion, how we can see each other is something so precious, something wonderful, something beautiful, you know. Every life matters, you know. Every life is so precious. Some things like that is very important to know, to focus on. So of course, you know, when it comes down to philosophy, there's a difference between Christianity and Buddhism. There's a difference. Huh? So, so goal is to become, you know, happy human being. So that's the goal. So anyway, can you suggest a mantra to say during the day for self-compassion? So that's mantra, you know, we say every morning, Om Mani Padme Hum. So there's two visions. One is like American vision of the compassion mantra. It's like, Om Mani, take me home. Om Mani, take me home. So, Mani, take me home. So the Tibetan version is like, Om Mani Padme Hum. So now you don't see her here anymore. There's one like African American woman, you know, who comes here. She has two daughters. She teaches them this compassion mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum, probably ask them to recite, you know, so they may have probably no interest, you know, they may have no interest at all to recite. Because they you know, so then they get tired, you know, so first they say, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum. Then she listens very carefully what they are saying. So what they are saying, Om Mani, take me home. So I thought that's a very good mantra, you know, Mani. invented here. So there's, you know, compassion mantra. This, you know, this is called prayer wheel, you know. So with the positive thought, when you turn this, you know, somehow the energy, you know, flows throughout the universe, you know, then, you know, as a help to people to develop compassion. That's called compassion mantra, huh? The Om Mani Padme Hum. So a lot of people know here, so I already explained this mantra, so this is a good mantra to recite, okay? If you are, you know, walking for, you know, if you are meditating on compassion, that's a good mantra to recite, Om Mani Padme Hum. So that's why in Tibetan community, every, you know, every person, even the children, knows this mantra, but we don't have special class for children, but they just know from their parents, you know, that they say Om Mani Padme Hum. So then there are six syllables, it's called six syllable mantra. When you see seven, then, you know, the last syllable should not be here, it should be in the middle, but when you write it down, there's no way to put it in the middle, so that sometimes they put it here, so then it becomes seven. Actually, this is called six syllable mantra. When there are seven, then the last syllable should be in the middle. That's called seed syllables, you know, seed syllables. Now seed, when you think of a seed, seed becomes something, you know, it becomes trees, then it produces apples, you know. The seed syllable means that, you know, you, in meditation, then you use the syllable, first you visualize the syllable, then slowly, slowly, the syllables transform into some figure, you know. Because that is, you know, in this case, that's like Chaitanya, that's the Buddha of compassion, you know. So then you visualize that. So then you, in your mind, you are picturing that image, and then you are saying the mantras, you know. So then it somehow it helps, you know, to, I said, to develop your compassion. Okay, that's the mantra. So, mantra, you know, like, does not mean that if something that people say it again, so there's not going to be mantra. The mantra is not to protecting mind. He chok. The definition of mantra is to protect your mind. He chok. That's the definition. It's not like something that you say again. No. Of course, the mantra, you do say again. But, you know, saying something again doesn't become mantra. The mantra, the definition is protect your mind. No? So that is that. One question. So, so now this probably need to discuss, okay, this probably need to discuss, like, I would like to some advice on self-forgiveness of past substance abuse. So, then how to be forgiving to oneself while still holding oneself responsible for not repeating. So these two, you know, so here today, so we still have time, so there's enough time for discussion. I would like to read something from here. These two things I would like you to discuss, and I would very much like to hear from you. Okay. There's two things I would like to read. You know, I read this many times. This is very helpful, you know. Each time when I read this, you know, so I almost now memorize. Not quite yet, but you know. This is from the Thomas Merton. So you see this photo with His Holiness Dalai Lama, this Catholic monk, Thomas Merton. So, because we have been discussing about, you know, self-compassion, then I would, you know, read from, you know, like Thomas Merton, what he, you know, what his idea about compassion and love. So, my understanding of loving kindness, compassion is very much based on Buddhism. So, I was wondering, you know, about Mother Teresa, what she has to say, Thomas Merton, what he has to say. So, this is from the Thomas Merton. The beginning of love is to let those we love be perfectly themselves. Make sense? You understand my pronunciation? Oh, yeah. The beginning of the love is to let those we love be perfectly themselves. And not to twist them to fit our own image. Otherwise, we love only the reflection of ourselves we find in them. That's Thomas Merton. So, no, we love to be perfectly themselves. No, that requires some knowledge. No, some knowledge or some deeper understanding of our existence, our own existence. No, it's quite, you know, critical for that. No. So then another statement here, the second one, about compassion. Whole idea of compassion is based on a keen awareness of the interdependence of all these living beings. Interdependence of all living beings, which are all part of one another and all involved in one another. Thomas Merton. So, may all sentient beings have happiness because of happiness. Pretty much similar, no? So there's no like there's instructions, there's like seven cause and one result. There's the stages of meditation that you go through to reach, you know, reach, you know, that point. You know, there's seven causes, one result. That's called meditation. That's, you can, you name, you not do, you know. The seven causes, one result. Result is bodhicitta, or bodhicitta, or that's the results. So you go through that meditation, it will help. So, practical level, here, practical level, interdependent, you know, everything that, you know, not here, my clothes is not interdependent here in the shop, they don't sell my clothes. But this is coming from India. Other than the food that we eat, the water we drink, the air we breathe, the road we drive, you know, garbage, everything, you know, it's like all, you know, due to the kindness of others, you know. Every pleasure that we experience, you know, we are not like all the fruit that we eat, somebody grow them, you know. All the clothes that we wear, somebody made them, the materials, the design, you know, there's so much energy, consciousness involved to, you know, to our every bit of our pleasures is not very much dependent on. Yeah, we pay, but you know, it's not free, but you know, it's interdependent. Interdependent does not mean free. There's a reason to open, there's a reason to open our heart, you know, open our, there's a reason, there's concrete reason to open our heart to others, you know. From the Buddhist point of view, so what we call all mother sentient beings, you know, all mother sentient beings. So as I mentioned, so there are six cause and one result instructions. How to open your heart for all, you know, there's, you know, instructions. Then exchanging, there's another instruction called exchanging one with other. So being in other people's shoes. No, that's like, I think, in Switzerland, there's like, there's a group of people, they study Jung philosophy. So I think he mentioned like something like that book, you know, so like being, wearing other people's shoes or something like being in their shoes, you know, so then feel that, you know, what other people feel, you know, like something like that. That's like, in Buddhism, like exchanging oneself with others, you know. Just being there and from looking from that point of view, you know. There's two instructions. How to open your heart for all living beings. Six cause and one result. There's one instruction that you can, you know, follow. You can do meditation on them. That it will help you to open your heart for all living beings. Another one is called Dashin Nyamje. That's called like Da means you, She means other, Je means, you know, exchange. Through that instruction, you know, that's one way to open your heart, hold the universe. That's one, then, that's then discussion. This one. This is This story is very much related to our day-to-day life experience, okay? Very much related to that. I walked down the street. This is like, is it okay to read? Yeah, I'm going to read this story, okay? I walked down the street, you know. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in, I'm lost, I'm hopeless. It isn't my fault. It takes forever to find way out. That's the first day. Second day, then I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place. But it isn't my fault. It still takes a long time to get out. Now the third day, I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it is there. I still fall in. It's the habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. is my fault. I get out immediately. I walk down the same street for the day. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Day five, I walk down another street. I really like this story, so I told this story many times. So I read this, so and this is good to know. It's helpful. It's good to remember. It's good to remember. So now, please, no discussion. So, yeah, this with these two papers. This is probably the topic maybe to discuss. So then, when we discuss, please, with a group. You divide the group, so then you discuss, then please share, everybody's eager to hear. And I very much like to hear, sincerely, genuinely, like to hear from you. So then we all learn something.
So just a quick reminder, the questions are how to be forgiving to oneself while still holding oneself responsible for not repeating. I think that means not repeating the same actions. And then the other was, I would like some advice on self-forgiveness of past substance abuse.
Mm-hmm. And that is self-forgiveness. That's also very important to to discuss, self-forgiveness. So would you mind to divide the group, then please discuss?
I couldn't hear the first one.
Donasi?
Yeah.
Carol?
How to be forgiving to oneself while still holding oneself responsible for not repeating the same mistake. Mm-hmm. So how to be forgiving to oneself while still holding oneself responsible for not repeating.
Yeah, we talked about a lot of things, so I'm trying to keep it all. I'm trying to keep it all in my head, the things that we talked about. One of the things we talked about was like being a parent to ourselves, like going back and remembering like when we were children, right? And being the parent, if we didn't have good parents, and some of us didn't have good parents, we can be that kind of parent to ourselves and be able to forgive ourselves for some of the things. We talked about the four opponent powers, oftentimes it's called the four R's, right? Regret, reliance, remedy, and resolve, right? And so it's like we have things that we regret, but the idea is not to hold on to those things. We tend to hold on to the past, right? We tend to hold on to these things, and they just cause us to stay stuck where we are, and so we have to learn how to let go of that, and in doing this, we talked about also the little story you read about walking down the road, and for myself, I see that as the beginning of awakening, right? Begin to awaken. At first, we walking down the road, we fall into the hole, right? Out of ignorance. Because we just don't see, we aren't able to see the hole because we aren't able to see things as they truly exist, right? That's ignorance. But we begin to awaken. And so now we're able to actually to some degree see the hole, but because of our habit, we fall back into the hole. And we do this for a long, long time because we actually kind of, even though the hole is uncomfortable, we kind of like it because it's what we know, right? And we feel kind of comfortable in that hole, right? We have a fear of the unknown, right? But then we begin to awaken a little bit more. And now we're actually able to see the hole. We realize, hey, this is kind of uncomfortable. It's dark. It's not where I really want to be. And so this time, because we're able to see, we're actually able to walk around the hole. And then finally we become fully awake on the fifth day, right? And so we say, you know what, I'm just going to go a different path, you know? And so we just bypass that whole thing. So I really feel like it's degrees of awakening, until finally we achieve.
It takes time.
It takes time, yeah.
Not right away.
Not right away. Yeah, absolutely. Can I say this one other thing? I'll let it go.
Yeah.
When I first came here, I was so anxious, right? I'd read this book, and this book just really spoke to me, Awakening the Buddha Within, and just really, and I really felt like I found my home. The first day, I knew this is where I fit, and I had an opportunity to meet Geshe-la, and I was kind of like all excited and stuff, and Geshe-la looked at me. He wasn't speaking English as well as he does now, but I remember he looked at me and he said, "Middle way." And I never forgot. He probably forgot, but I never forgot that. Because I've been trying to practice middle way ever since. Yeah, but yeah, it takes patience. Someone?
Yeah.
Sorry, I guess I could pass it on. Somebody else. Thank you. Yeah, we talked a lot about the forgiveness piece, the difference between regret and guilt, and talking about kind of putting your energies and everything towards doing positive things to, like, set those neural pathways of doing the positive, you know, creating more positive karma rather than going into the practice of the drug addiction. And we also linked it to is as you're practicing all these positives of becoming more aware of your other attachments, so attachments to self that play into the drug addiction, attachments to, you know, feeling comfortable all of the time, so that even that the drug addiction is only one of those attachments, addictions, and all these other attachments, you know, kind of have led to the drug addiction. So the drug addiction alone isn't enough. You know, you've got to go farther in your other attachments and addictions.
Hey, thanks. This is a good topic. That wasn't my question, but I have suffered from substance abuse and alcohol abuse in the past, and I've been in recovery for a good while. And one of the things that happens is when you put down the booze or the substance, there's other attachments that come up. And that's one of the things that I still have to deal with in my sobriety is I still have, like, attachments to whether it's clothing or shopping or food or exercise. Like, it's always, like, it's like I'm always grasping for something to make me feel whole and happy. And some of the things that we talked about and being able to recognize and still move forward is being mindful. We discussed the neuroses of the mind with obsessive compulsive disorder and different things that spin off from grave attachment to things. So being mindful, meditation is very important. It actually changes the brain structure. It actually creates more compassion for yourself and others. Educating yourself, so really going out and doing a lot of reading and really educating yourself on where these emotions come from and how to deal with these emotions on a daily basis. Walking in other shoes, acts of dharma, healing your part, you know, knowing yourself, knowing what's going on in you, and knowing which parts are, I guess you'd say, messed up, so that you can really address that and be able to move forward. But yeah, holding on to the past, like you said, and getting stuck in that is a form of, like, attachment or fear that comes up, being fearful that something's going to happen as far as, like, how people view us or whatever. But it's all centered around attachment. So the biggest thing is practicing how to detach from those things.
I think we had a lot of similar things as well. We tried to answer the first question, and then that kind of led into an answer for the second. For We talked about, I think, two parts. One is reframing, and we've talked about that before, and what we can do to reframe the situation, thought stopping, to change the dialogue, the negative loop that we have that keeps replaying, and that doesn't go away right away, and that we have to keep doing it over and over. And that's a process. Another way to reframe was imagining that there's a small child in front of you and that you are that small child, and how would you treat that small child if he or she made a mistake? Would you do the same thing that you keep doing to yourself over and over again? And that's a way to change it around in your brain a little bit. Realizing that without that past, we would not be where we are here today, so take it as a lesson, which is easier said than done, so we have to keep doing these same things over and over again until eventually it gets better. And what can we do when we realize that without that we wouldn't be where we are? Well, we can take positive action out of this. We can move forward, and that's the second part of the answer that we had, was along with reframing, excuse me, we can take action by doing something kind for someone else, and that in turn makes us feel better about ourselves, so we don't beat ourselves up over and over again. And I think it also helps in doing something similar to, like, how Geshe-la said, meditating, and how she said that changes your brain chemistry. You're not allowing those negative thoughts to take hold. You are acknowledging them. You're letting them sit. That's key too. But you don't sit with that. You do something else for someone else. I think I got everything that I wrote down. Is there anything else that we talked about? Okay. Thank you.
In our group, we discussed a lot of the same things everybody else did, but one of the thoughts that we discussed was how we have to remind ourselves that we are changing every moment. We are not the same person that we are even a minute ago or a year or 5 years ago. We are not the same person that made the choices that we are now regretting in the past. And it's the problem comes in when we equate a bad thing we did, a behavior that we did, with being ourselves. Like, because we did a bad behavior doesn't mean we are a bad person. And if we can help to try to remember that, and to remember that each, whatever we did in the past was based on a choice that we made at that time. But right now, we have a whole other set of choices we can make. So if we stop and look at ourselves now and look at the choices that we have before us, we can make a new choice, and therefore, you know, that's where hope comes in. And the other thing was that we tend to think that we don't have control over our feelings, that our feelings are different than our thoughts or behaviors. But if we remember that there is no difference between our feelings and thoughts. All feelings are a result of our thoughts. So if a feeling arises and we think about, well, why did that feeling arise? What are the thoughts that I'm having that cause that feeling? Then if we can resolve to change our thoughts and therefore change our feelings as well.
Geshe-la, thank you. And thanks to the group that worked with me through these questions, and thanks to everyone for their contributions so far. I was the one who wrote the question about not repeating, and it was based on one of your lectures a couple weeks ago where you broke down the four steps of self-compassion, and I believe not repeating was number three. And without repeating things that everybody else has already contributed, I think the one word that we, or the one concept that we broke down that hasn't been specifically talked about, is the difference between being objectively aware of your mistakes versus blaming yourself for mistakes. And we spent a little bit of time on breaking down the components of blame. And I guess after listening to everyone, I think one of the summaries that I can pull away from that is that the difference between blame and objective awareness is the middle path that Andre was referring to. It's like not grasping at the good things either, not holding on to the mistakes as well. Thank you.
In our group, on this question of forgiving oneself while still holding oneself responsible for not repeating the behavior.
Yes, ma'am.
The first thing that we kind of came up with was that there really isn't a contradiction between those two, that in fact holding yourself responsible for not repeating the behavior, changing your behavior, changing the way you think about it, is a form of forgiveness. I don't know, is there anything that we said that hasn't already been said? I don't think so. So I'll move past
the mic on it.
We talked about a lot of stuff, and I'm going to try and summarize it in one small package. But I think the biggest takeaway for me was where we landed, that forgiveness is an act of compassion, that it comes out of the same thing, the same feeling of compassion. It's actually treating someone with compassion. And I think if you hit me and, you know, I'm mad about that, and I, from compassion, let go of that attachment to that negative emotion, that is an act of forgiveness. It doesn't mean the same thing as me being okay with you hitting me. It doesn't mean that I want you to hit me again or that I think there's no problem. It just means I have let go of the idea that I must be attached to this negative feeling about your action. And I think the same thing then would go with self-forgiveness. We have to separate out those two things, and I think sometimes that's really hard to do, to forgive ourselves and recognize that doesn't mean you're saying that what you did was okay or that it was fine and it was not a problem. It just means treating yourself with compassion and letting go of the attachment to that negative action. I think that's what I took away from it. Did I miss anything?
In our group, excuse me, we pretty much talked about everything else, but there's a couple things that we one thing we really wanted to talk about was how, if we're, like, say, addicted to cigarettes, we're trying to quit, how are we going to actually stop? What's going to make us stop? And I think a couple of things we came up with: recognizing our choice. Whether or not we make the right choice the first time, at least we've recognized there's a choice to stop or to pick another cigarette back up again. And once you have that recognition, then you next time maybe you will wait a little longer before picking it up. And that is one of the things for addiction, is maybe this time I'll wait 5 minutes, next time I'll wait 10 minutes. And you can meditate on that to get yourself a little longer every time. And the other one was fake it till you make it. Say a mantra to yourself, or say mantras to say, I like myself. I'm not going to pick up this cigarette. I like myself. I'm not going to let this person treat this way. So that was something I picked up from Venerable Rabina. Fake it till you make it. So sometimes we have to do that to change our mindset, because we're so programmed to do the wrong thing since we're this big. So we just have to work at it. And that was the last thing. It's really hard. And we have to make that commitment. And it's easier to pick up the cigarette to get you released than it is to sit there and meditate for 10 minutes and try not to pick up that cigarette. So you have to make an actual, be mindful that you're not going to do it anymore.
Hi. In our group, we kind of discussed the same points, but we also talked about self-love and being in a state of gratitude, to embrace that we may not be where we want to be, but we're not where we used to be. So it's important of moving forward and to reflect, but not get stuck in the point of regretting everything.
In our group, I want to try to capture everything that they said, because it was very valuable. And I think that state of wanting to forgive comes from a place of a habit of not loving or cherishing yourself, and that in order to stop that state of not being forgiving to yourself, you have to go back and you have to find where were you hurt? What was it that, where's the wound? And to help tend to that wound within you. And then the other thing that was said that I thought was priceless was that in this culture, our Western culture, that there is this thing that we've learned of not loving ourselves, of beating ourselves up, of not forgiving ourselves. And that, if I'm saying it correctly, there is no word for guilt or shame in the Tibetan community. Is that correct? In the Tibetan community. And so for me, I find hope in that because we just learned it. And so now it's just a matter of unlearning. And we talked about karma and how karma helps us kind of take a step back and say, hey, we're all in this together, and we're all feeling this together, and we're all learning together, and we can all help each other. And that self-responsibility is a matter of choice, is learning that we have choice. We can choose to do differently. We can act differently. We can love ourselves differently. And I find that so nice to hear everyone talk about something that's so human. So thank you, everybody.
Yeah, maybe next Sunday now, so it's 12 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah. So, so we would like to thank each and everyone. Please, if you wouldn't mind to give like 5 o'clock. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Okay, we'll go to page 246 in the gold prayer book, or on the back of the first sheet in your in the white prayer book, and we'll recite the dedication verses from Master Shanti Davis, Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. And on page 244, the Long Life Prayers, for His Holiness the Dalai Lama, in the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good. All-powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso, please remain until samsara ends. At the bottom of the next page, the one who mastered speech at a very young age, the one with great patience who received the name Avatari, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama, ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. And the bottom of 244, you who uphold the subduer's moral way, who serve as the bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjana's victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplished magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, Savior of myself and others, your disciples, please, please live long. Om Tari Tu Tari Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tari Tu Tari Tu Re Soha.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. And thank you for your input. Thank you very much. And have a wonderful weekend. Thank you.